What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E on this Monday, good, bad, and ugly. Recapping a busy weekend. NBA playoffs are, well, not set. They still have to have the play-in tournament, but we now know who's going to be a part of that. And the first round of the playoffs will be set. Beyond that, we'll reset that conversation here coming up. Also, Buck, you can decide if it's good, bad, or ugly, but the report over the weekend, actually, not even a report, the discussion of Urban Meyer, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, people wondering about you know, how he's going to handle this gig. And he's already come under fire for, remember, he hired the Iowa strength and conditioning coach that he immediately had to turn around and let go because of...
That was quick.
You know, that was a piece of poor judgment by Urban Meyer. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But then the Tim Tebow story of last week raised some eyebrows and got a lot of conversation going. And I think you and I defended the coach a little bit on, you know, he's got to earn the spot. He's coming in as one of 85 or 90 on the roster. If he actually earns a spot and takes a, you know, tight end role from somebody who's been playing that position their whole career.
And he's not actually better than that person?
Yeah, that would be questionable. And you do run the risk of losing some people in your locker room at that point.
Sure.
If you're just going with a guy that you know and is a friend of yours over a better player.
Mm-hmm.
But all the players will get to see that in camp, right? They'll get to see for themselves if he can play the position.
They'll know. Those guys will know.
And if he can help them. Well, the news of the weekend was that Urban Meyer said that he plans to take, remember, they took Trevor Lawrence with the first pick of the draft. Then they had the 25th pick in the draft, and they drafted Clemson running back Travis Etienne. And Urban announced, or at least made clear this weekend, that through all the mini camps and the offseason work, Etienne is going to work exclusively as a wide receiver and taking wide receiver reps, which, of course, immediately people questioning, why would you take a running back and then make him a wide receiver? But I think you read a little deeper, and what Urban Meyer is saying is he's going to use Travis Etienne like he used Percy Harvin when he was at Florida. And if you remember Percy Harvin at Florida with those Tebow teams, he would line up all over the field, and he gained more than 1,800 yards on the ground and another 1,900 in his career through the air. And Harvin was that everything player for him. And it's pretty clear that that's what Urban Meyer is going to try to do with Etienne. And the other thing that Urban Meyer admitted right after the draft is that they had their hearts broken by the New York Giants when they drafted Kadarius Toney from Florida, because that's who he had targeted as the player
the receiver,
to fill that
the one
role.
He really wanted.
Yeah, that's
the real little guy.
Kadarius Toney was, and he was, you know, if you watched Florida play, what was he? Was he a running back? Was he a receiver? And of course,
he ran between the tackles pretty good, too.
He did. And then they would throw it to him, and then they'd flip it to him, and they'd pitch it to him, and he was everywhere.
Well,
and he was just a highlight reel. And Urban Meyer says, look, he's not a running back. He's not a receiver. He's a slash. That's what Urban Meyer called him overlooking. He's a slash.
And I can understand that, because you got to understand, this team is not, just because you have Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback, that dude is going to be moving. He's going to be on the run. He's going to be moving. He's going to have an opportunity to run the ball himself. He's not going to sit back there and be a drop back guy. He can do so many other things on the move. He's incredible on the move. And Urban Meyer's used to a mobile quarterback.
Well, I mean, we've gotten to see. People are going to question Urban Meyer every step of the way, which is fair. He's got to prove himself in this league. And, you know, there's a lot of really smart coaches in this league that he's walking into.
I just don't know if this guy, as a running back, goes out. That's why they're doing it now. They want to find out.
Well, and I think that's smart, right?
Right.
If we're
going to
use him in this role, we know he's a running back. He's been a running back for 4 years at Clemson.
That's right. You're right.
And he's been taking running back reps his whole career. We want him to take receiver reps this summer.
He needs to catch the ball standing still and moving.
Yeah, to refine his receiver routes, because we're going to start him in the backfield, and then all of a sudden he's going to be lined up, and we're going to create a mismatch with him. And so we want him to be a better route runner. This is what the Carolina Panthers do with Christian McCaffrey. This is what Andy Reid does with Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill sometimes is just a running back out of their backfield. This is what, you know, Sean Payton does with Alvin Kamara,
mm-hmm.
To create a mismatch. And, you know,
he's just telling you what he's doing.
Sure. and people are going to question Urban Meyer and say, well, why would you do that? You know, because, I don't know, I get it. I see where he's going with it. And he admitted he wanted Kadarius Toney, and he wasn't there, so the next best option was Travis Etienne. And I would say if you go to Pro Football Focus and go to last year's college football statistics, here's a little nugget on Travis Etienne. He was first in the nation in college football last year with a receiving grade of 90.9 for a running back, a receiving running back. He was first in the nation in receiving yards for a running back at 588, and he was first in the nation in first downs and touchdown receptions for a running back. So this is not this is not foreign to him, and this is something our buddy Rod Babers in the afternoon calls weaponizing your weapons, right? Mm-hmm. How do you weaponize what you have? You already have a 1,000-yard running back in your backfield. The kid from a year ago, the rookie, James Robinson, he's your first and second down back, but there's no reason Etienne can't be on the field with him.
Well, if you want a big, strong guy who can catch coming out of the backfield, and he does catch it, he breaks tackles, he's got incredible speed.
Yeah, he's an explosive player.
And you know what you're going to get when you turn around and hand it off to him. So you're right. He needs to go out there. It's not like when I say he's going to be sitting in the slot, he's not going to be sitting there. He's going to be on the move just like they do with all these other great players now. And if he can catch the ball, which, like you said, you gave all the numbers of his catching, I just don't see him as a standstill guy. So I obviously they're going to keep him on the move a high percentage of the time.
Yeah.
Because he's not used to standing still.
And one of the things Urban Meyer said over the weekend was, worst case scenario, you have a running back that's got elite receiver skills.
Yes.
Like, that's where we're going with this. And, you know, I think it was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network who reported this first. You know, he says it's similar to Le'Veon Bell in his prime. And you remember how great Le'Veon Bell was with Pittsburgh when he was a good running back, but then he was ridiculous as a pass catcher. And, you know, this is the reason for the first time we ever saw a tight end go in the top five of the draft, because it's a matchup league.
Right.
You're trying to create mismatches, use them to your advantage, and, you know, get a guy like Travis Etienne on a linebacker or a defensive back in space. And all of a sudden, you're creating a big play.
Yeah, either way, he's going to be in the limelight every time he's, like you said, Urban Meyer does something, because, I mean, he could have kept this quiet, but somebody was going to find out. He's just telling you what he's doing, which is okay, because we're going to find out anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it goes. Okay, let him know.
He's been pretty candid, because he did say the Giants broke their heart when they took Kadarius Toney.
That's pretty candid when you're the guy he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, and look, Etienne's got a chance to become a weapon in that offense pretty quickly. That they do have good receivers, they do have a good running back, and this will be their kind of slash player.
I can't wait to see what they do with this quarterback, how they move him around.
Yeah, we're going to Trevor Lawrence, a pretty good player, we think.
Yeah.
We think, wherever that goes. But so that's among the storylines of the offseason. You know, pretty good NFL stuff. The Aaron Rodgers story is still, you know, at an impasse, and it was Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. By the way, I think at some level, I was watching some of the press conference with Matt LaFleur, and you feel bad for the guy. In his first two seasons as a head coach, he's
great
gone 26-6 in the regular
season.
That? He's taken the team to two NFC championship games. I mean, this was an organization that Aaron Rodgers, they pretty much quit on Mike McCarthy. Things were not going well.
Which I believe he helped.
Oh, I think he helped facilitate Mike McCarthy's ouster, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Well, so he's, you know, he's done a good job. I mean, he's got a better first two-year winning percentage than Vince Lombardi. I mean, Matt LaFleur has done a hell of a job. And now, you know, we told you that when the Packers brass, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, traded up to take Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur didn't know anything about it. Like, they didn't even tell him. We know they didn't tell Aaron Rodgers.
Sorry, coach.
And so now this coach is just kind of like dangling, like, well, can y'all figure this out? Because I need my quarterback.
Mike and coach.
He actually said over the weekend, we want him back in the worst way. Like, I can't stress enough how much we want Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback. And can you guys work this deal out? Because you're making a mess of things here, both of y'all. Let's get this thing figured out and get him back on the field. So that's there. We told you Dak Prescott, another offseason storyline to follow. Dak, according to Mike McCarthy, is proceeding very well with his rehab, and they expect him to be a full go, full participant for training camp come summer, which is pretty cool.
It's amazing. It really is. I keep on thinking, you know, as we talk about modern medicine, there's no way that guy's going to be back. There's no way he's going to be ready to go. And they're talking about him, let's go, training camp, let's roll.
Yeah, I mean, his foot was going the wrong way, was it not?
It was truly going the wrong way.
I saw it. Horrifying. All right, we also saw the Austin FC drop to 2-3 on their inaugural season with a 2-0 loss to the LA Galaxy on Saturday afternoon. I'll mention again that we had a Moon Tower watch party out in South Austin with our friends at Bud Light. And boy, was that awesome to see The folks at Moon Tower were surprised how many folks showed up, passionate folks who were ready to go and wearing their green and wearing the Yeti jerseys, and that was cool. And there's a place right next door to Moon Tower on Manchac called the Armadillo Den, which same kind of place, and it was packed. I mean, both places just packed with FC fans. That's just two locations, mm-hmm. but pretty good indicator of the fan base and where the passion is right now for this soccer team. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. You'll hear him tonight hosting his own show called Soccer Matters at 7 o'clock. He's our buddy Glenn Davis for the quick recap of the weekend. Glenn, how are you, bud?
Aaron, Bucky, good morning, guys. Yeah, that sounded like a lot of fun at Moon Tower.
Yeah, man. We know there's passion, but this is just one load. There were watch parties all over the city for this, and I know you've been around this sport and certainly the MLS for a long time, Glenn. That's a good indicator that fans want to gather, they want to get together with fellow fans and root on their team.
Nah, no question. All the like-minded, things that come with supporting your team and the sport of soccer. I mean, 33 days away from opening the stadium, you got the women's national team coming in. You got a Gold Cup semifinal. Austin's now going to get even more projection on the big landscape. But the best thing is that people just get to enjoy it all.
Yeah, everybody was out, which was kind of cool. Saturday was good to see folks out there and getting ready for this game. And Glenn, this game, this was a team that started out real slow, and there's no doubt they missed their captain last week, Alex Ring. I think everybody knew this was going to be an uphill battle for the Oaks, but it was tough from the get-go. And, man, that red card was really, really important to this soccer club.
Well, listen, when you don't have Alex Ring, Major League Soccer, when you pull a player of that caliber out that so much is built around, it's going to definitely have an effect. I mean, LAFC is a great example of that, not having Carlos Vela really so far this year. And, they're at the bottom of the Western Conference. So when you lose a guy like that, but, there are some positives you have to take out of these things. And when guys are missing, it is opportunity for others, as you know, and as Aaron knows. And it's a chance to really see out the depth of your team and who steps up. I thought there was actually a couple things to really focus in on. I thought Danny Pereira, again, just validates what a great draft choice he is. The way he jumped out of midfield and ran out of back four a couple of times. But this wasn't a great performance. I think everybody understands that. I think it's a day where you need more from Cecilio Dominguez. You need more from Pochettino. And you're going to need more from both of those guys against the deep defending Nashville coming up this weekend.
You know, Glenn, they have to get better with that. You're right. They have to be a little bit more offensive-minded. And Dominguez, once again, here's a guy who you can't have a game where you're fantastic and then really not do much three games later. He's got to be a consistent, does he not? I mean, even just threats alone?
Well, he's your designated player, right?
Yes.
So your designated players are brought here to win you games. They're game changers. Some teams have them, some teams don't. Cecilio is one of those men for, Austin FC. I think Pochettino is as well, and he's a very cultured player as well. So these are the guys that got to unlock defenses. These are the guys that have to win you games on a night you're not playing your best, And you got to win games in MLS when you don't play your best. And, look, it's a long haul on the road. I think everybody's got to keep this measured and in place. I think there's a lot of good things going on. I do love the fact that Josh Wolf goes for it. I know there's people, play for a draw. Nah, I love his attitude to be aggressive and to go for it. Look, there are times you pull the troops back and you defend in a lower block due to fatigue, volume of games, things like that. But I love the aggressive attitude. He threw Dominguez in at center forward, pushed Pereira higher late in the game. He was trying things to figure it out.
Certainly.
To accumulate a bunch of one-point draws on the road throughout the year doesn't do it for me. Go and try and win games, and I think that's the attitude that's being projected, and I absolutely love that, and I think the fans should too.
Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, 7 to 8 tonight, all things Austin FC and soccer-related across the MLS and around the world. Okay, both y'all can help me because I was – this Josh Wolf, the coach or the manager of the Austin FC – he looks like a Pixar prince to me on one of the Pixar movies.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think. I can't get my finger on who he looks like, but he looks like somebody, like some prince from a Disney or a Pixar movie. He's very chiseled. He's very handsome, Glenn.
Well, he looks like he can still play, too. And when he played, he was fantastic. I mean, the movement and mobility of that guy, he was lightning quick. You know, look, I can't necessarily comment on his handsomeness. I think that's more important for his wife to know about.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she thinks he's a handsome guy, so that's all that really counts. But as far as I'm concerned, I just like his attitude, yeah. And I think there is... there is this style and there's this edge that's being created around this team. And like I said, I think the miss of Alex Ring, you get him back, and this is a better thing on the road in Nashville.
Glenn, Chicharito last week, you knew he was going to be a nemesis. He's back to playing some really decent soccer now. Their national team, are they going to call him up to play at all, or is he still, you know, for the MLS?
Yeah, I think you have to consider him because, you know, you look at him and his movement right now. It's sharp. It's quick. He's chiseled, as Aaron just said. He's back to his professional game. He's got seven. You know, here's the moral of the story with Chicharito, who looked overweight last year. Get rid of the guru. Get off of YouTube and stop doing all the YouTube stuff. Focus on being a professional soccer player. But his darting runs, his movement, he's now being utilized and played to. It's great for MLS that he's scoring goals, and it's important. But I see a call up to the national team for him again.
Glenn Davis, that's what you'll get and more tonight, 7 o'clock. What do you have tonight, Glenn? Anything to preview?
You know, we're going to go deep on all the individual performances of Austin FC. I'm going to point out a couple subtle things that I think people haven't seen yet. We're going to talk a little bit about Alisson and Liverpool and the spectacular goalkeeper's header to keep them in a chase for Champions League places, and a couple of special guests that I still have to confirm.
All right. Appreciate it, my friend. Good to hear you. Enjoy the show every Monday. I know our soccer fans do as well. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Glenn.
Aaron, Bucky, good to hear your voices, guys.
Yes, absolutely. Likewise, yeah. So, yeah, help me out. I mean, Josh Wolf, he looks like some kind of prince from one of the Disney movies or something. I'm trying to think which one. And I'm not saying he's handsome, but he's a pretty handsome fella. But he's got that chiseled
I know, that jaw.
Look, the jawline. Like he's one of the princes in a Disney film or something.
Are you sure he's not one of the princesses?
No. He's a manly man. No, he's like Prince Charming or something. It's just when I see him on screen, and it's always because they do these Zoom calls, right? Because everything's on Zoom. You see him on TV screen, and then I see him on screens. He almost looks animated sometimes to me. But there were 2 and 3. They'll play Nashville this week on the road, of course, because they're on the road for 33 more days and a couple more games for the Austin FC. So appreciate Glenn jumping on. We've got football on the brain. I'll just say this for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer continues to give headlines through the non-football season.
Yes.
With things he's doing.
That's okay.
We like it. We like non-
Absolutely.
We like storylines of the offseason, which is pretty cool, other than just Aaron Rodgers.
Someone says Aladdin.
Okay. I could see. Okay, I'm going to look that up. Prince and Aladdin.
Yes.
Because it's just one. He's just one of those.
One of those dudes.
Princely looking guys. And he's a pretty good coach. And he was a pretty good soccer player.
Now, really good coach.
Did we ever get to the. Did your son ever play with him?
No.
No.
Year before. Yeah. He is learning on the road and doing a good job at it too. With a blue collar team that is exciting because they don't really give in. They really don't. They were just overmatched, period, last week.
Ooh, I think they might have hit it. Prince Anders. See?
There you go.
From Aladdin. That is who he looks like.
I don't know if I've gone through a whole Aladdin yet.
Oh, see, look at that picture, and then look at Josh Wolf and tell me.
There you go.
That's him. He is Prince Ander from, and thank you to the texter that pointed
that out.
Let me
not say
that
if he's ever on. Hello,
oh, you should, like Chris Beard.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Don't like basketball.
Oh, no. Oh, another setup? Here's the setup. Hey, he likes to be called
I'll
Prince.
Ask him.
He likes to be called Prince.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling him Prince Wolf.
There you go.
If he was on, I'd ask him, has anybody ever mentioned to you that you kind of look like the Prince in Aladdin? Who doesn't want to look like a Prince? Prince Charming.
You don't want to get that same reaction Chris Beard gave me. Don't do it.
Ooh, that was a Heisman.
Don't. Don't try that. Don't try that again. That'd be a
funny
dang
guy.
That would be a dang coaching mistake. Don't do it. I'm going to suggest that to you now before you go with that.
You know, I think we'll get Chris Beard back.
Unlike
on.
Unlike you and others who did not give me that.
I think we will
that
put,
benefit.
Hey, I jumped in for you. I know I got the conversation back
two
on.
Or 3 minutes later. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You and Zay? Yeah, 3 minutes later.
Oh, man. We'll get Chris Beard back on, and we're going to have to get that fixed.
No, we're not. There's nothing to get fixed.
By the way,
we're going to pretend like that never happened. And when Coach comes on again, let's just pretend that never happened. And don't set anything up. Let's just pretend it never happened.
Here's what we do. We get Chris Beard back on.
Okay.
When there's something that we need to chat with him about.
Sure.
Because he hasn't announced, remember his fireside chats he did at Texas Tech? He's going to do like the Riverside chats here. I still need to see when that gets announced. But we need to have that help him promote that.
Okay.
And you could have like a list of jokes you want to tell him.
Like your mama jokes, too?
Yeah.
Say, that's not a good idea, right? That's not a good idea. Oh, you're trying it again? No.
I think that'd be awesome. We seem to get into
laugh. No, you think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Give him my 10 best jokes.
Yeah.
Hey, hell no.
Coach, here's my list of my favorite jokes.
I know I'm getting older, but I'm not getting that old. No, I'm not going to try that one.
Oh, but I will ask Josh Wolf that when we talk to him next. When we come back, we will continue the good, bad, and ugly recap of the weekend. Look forward to a busy week that includes the second major golf championship and NASCAR coming to Central Texas. It's B&E on the Horn.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
That's right. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Back to work on a Monday. And it's a busy week. A lot going on. Go to hornfm.com. Get signed up for our second golf major competition. Pick your 9 golfers from the flights and have some fun with that through the weekend at the PGA Championship, Kiawah Island, South Carolina. It is on. Also, NASCAR coming to Central Texas for the first time ever, which is pretty cool. Excited about the race out at COTA. Road race. You have to go right and left in the NASCARs.
So those turn signals up there. Get them ready.
We'll get to Rodney Rodriguez this week as well and get a feel from him on this
race. He's been excited now.
I know. Well, I think this is why my fingers crossed for the weather, because we mentioned the campgrounds open at 9 o'clock on a Thursday. It could be
swampy.
It'll be a little wet camp out.
Yeah.
But they've done that before. They're NASCAR fans. You know what I'm saying? They come from all over to be a part of the great American sport, and it'll be fun to watch it. But I got to think, and I know they've tested on this track, but I got to think if you're a driver, you want as much track time as you can get.
For sure.
Before you set in to learn this. I mean, it's a 3-mile track. I mean, I think that's a long way for what they're normal. I mean, I know they do the ovals typically, but this is a long track. And the more practice time they can get, because they also have the truck race, they have the Xfinity race, they've got the NASCAR race. I mean, they have a lot of vehicles out there. So hoping for good weather so they can get through that. But that'll be part of a fun week and good stuff happening right there. Aladdin, people keep mentioning Aladdin is what Josh Wolf, the coach of the Austin FC, looks like. So we got that. Somebody said, what a Monday. NBA, soccer, and handsome men. We got some football in there.
Yeah, we got football. What are you
kidding
me? Got
a great blitz.
Talked about Urban Meyer. Come on, man.
Urban and Travis Etienne doing his thing.
Smart move on his part. Just even smarter because that's nothing you can hide. When he's standing out there as a wide receiver in motion, people are going to start talking. He just gets out in front of him and says, this is what we're doing. So don't ask me about it. It is what it is. And this is the great time to do it.
Well, he's going to be judged and overjudged because he's a college coach who's never coached in the NFL. He's going to come in with it. I do believe, after watching his teams for 25 years at the college level, I think he's an offensive genius. I mean, he's a very – I mean, it's kind of like Lincoln Riley, what we watch at Oklahoma, of how he runs an offense and coordinates an offense. So I'm not going to doubt him on his vision for what he wants his offense to be and how he wants to use people. But, he's already been people questioning the Tim Tebow move. Is that good for his locker room? People questioning the strength coach from Iowa. Is Urban Meyer going to have good judgment running this organization? Or, because I think that's the question for him, right? Is this going to be more like Jimmy Johnson, or is this going to be more like Nick Saban? Is this going to be
like a young Nick Saban, you mean?
Well, he lasted 2 years, and he was out in Miami. But Urban did get to draft his quarterback. And that's something Nick Saban never had an opportunity because they nixed the Drew Brees play and never had a draft pick. It wasn't like the Dolphins were bad for Nick Saban. I mean, they were a fringe playoff team over his second year.
Yeah, and they're questioning something that's not a big deal. That's the thing. I mean, this is going to be, as you said, he's keeping the NFL alive. Here we go.
Yeah.
Days of our lives with the NFL, because that's not a big deal. That's just trying to find out about a guy.
I think it's pretty smart. Am I crazy? I mean, you're the coach here. You coach running backs. I mean, if you have a running back who you plan to weaponize as a receiving back and just a slash player, and he's played running back his whole life.
These would be the times that I would find out how good he is with his hands, really.
Yeah, this is well, not just find out, but sharpen his skills.
Yeah, out in space. He's going to be out in space. You know, he's still coming out of the backfield, but
it's not like he can't come back and be a running back. He's been a running back his whole life. So that
they don't care to see him back there.
They're going to ask him to try to get open and run routes against NFL players, right? That's one thing to do that in college. It's another thing to get spill out. Now you're all of a sudden on an NFL player. You got to run precise routes. You've got to, you know how to get off a jam if they jam you. You got to know how to position your body. And as you say, catch the ball, right? You got to, if that's going to be what Trevor Lawrence is looking for you for. Because when you watch...
that is a great thing that that's been his quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, well, you go.
He knows how it's spinning.
I mean, can you... think about Alvin Kamara. When you watch Alvin Kamara play with the Saints, I mean, he runs great routes. I mean, he's a really, really good receiver. That's what makes him so hard, because you can even feel like you have a good matchup on it, and he can beat your nickel corner.
He's the guy who can stand still. He doesn't need to be in motion. He can go out there in his two-point stands and beat you and beat really good pros.
Well, that's what makes the Chiefs so great, right? I mean, the matchups they create with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and when healthy, they're running. I mean, that's why last year when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, just when he was healthy and their offensive line was healthy, I mean, they were still great. Because what do you stop? What do you do? How do you? I mean, Tyreek Hill, you have to try to do something with him, which is going to leave single coverage on Kelce. They can also run the ball, and then there's of course Patrick Mahomes. Clearly. And that's what Urban Meyer is envisioning for his offense. And it doesn't take, you don't have to go very back to the Florida days when he had Percy Harvin and he had people running all over the place and the tight ends and the quarterback. And I mean, he is a very innovative offensive mind. And I think that's what you're going to see.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Flores is hoping from Freaky Pitts. I mean, he's definitely hoping that helps Tua out an awful lot. That guy takes a lot,
Tua
of pressure.
Jalen Waddle. I mean, because Freaky Pitts is in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Waddle, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the wave of the NFL. I mean,
but can he do it? Can Waddle, I mean, can he?
Some people say when he was healthy, I mean, that receiving core included Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. And
they did think of him as the best at
some
one
thought
time.
Waddle was the best of all of them when he was healthy and the most dynamic, especially in that, you know, realm of the slash player. Those guys, they create the matchups. I mean, and think about last year at Alabama with Steve Sarkisian. Devontae Smith became that slash player for him, right? I mean, how many times you see Devontae Smith come in motion, go back the other way, you know, hit, say, Hutt on the run, and all of a sudden he's on a matchup that he's already got a step on.
All he needs is a step, yes.
That's the kind of stuff you're trying to create. That's what Tyreek Hill does to people. That's what they're going to try to do with Travis Etienne. I like it. We'll see where it goes. And again, the Tim Tebow thing. He's just there for culture. He's there for locker room. And I know players don't care. They all are grown people.
Right.
And this is their profession. I can understand some people thinking, really? We're bringing in a quarterback? But Urban believes in his competitiveness and how he can push the needle in his room.
He's either going to make it or he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
And the people around him will know that. You know, are you keeping him for a locker room guy, or are you keeping him because he's vital to the team?
I mean, but again, Urban Meyer's going to be under a microscope this year. That's fair. And people want to know.
Every time he does something, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I've compared him a little bit to Jimmy Johnson in that I do think there's an advantage coming into a place and having known these college players, right?
For sure.
You recruited most of them, got to know their families, scouted them and against them and played against them and coached them. There's something to that. You know, if you're an NFL coach, you're kind of, you know, typically – You're paying attention to the college game, but not that's what your scouts do, right? Your scouts go around and college scouts, and then they come to the table. Well, here's the guy we really like. Well, Urban Meyer has been scouting these players himself, so he's got that intimate knowledge of who they are, what makes them tick, the kind of guys you want. And he had so many draft picks to go after that. So there's a sense that's what Jimmy Johnson did when he got to Dallas. He brought in the players he knew were really good that were going to change the level of the Cowboys. Then he made the Herschel Walker trade to. You know, get all of those draft picks, and those all turned into the foundation of the three-time Super Bowl teams. I don't know if Urban Meyer is going to do that, or is he going to be more like Steve Spurrier, or is he going to be more like Nick Saban, that this won't last long and he'll be out?
Yeah, well, he's going to have enough draft picks and enough talent to change. They're going to be better. I can't see them being any worse than they were last year. I think they'll be a lot better.
Are you with me on this, that this is the year Cliff Kingsbury's got to prove it?
I think so in year three.
That kind of, because we're talking about college to the pros. I mean, Cliff got to the NFL and he didn't even win a championship in college. But in first year, I think the results were better than expected. And then he gets Kyler Murray,
I just think they had a lot of injuries last year.
I do too.
I think he's a pretty good coach, NFL coach. Maybe not a great college coach, but I think he understands it enough that they were hurt a lot, and you know that they were banged up all over the place last year. The first year, I don't think was that I think that surprised a lot of people, but I think this team, when they're healthy, they're pretty damn good.
Well, and I think it's interesting that another example for Urban Meyer is that the NFL game has come to where Urban Meyer's been his whole career.
Right.
The style of offense is exactly what Urban's been doing. I think that's one of the reasons Cliff has been successful quickly is, you know, Cliff Kingsbury 10 years ago and what he does wouldn't have worked in the NFL. They wouldn't have bought it. And now it's what everybody wants. And so there's a quick assimilation to it. And the college players come out of college knowing how to run that kind of system, and that's what they've been doing through high school and college. There is a bit of an advantage there. You know, some of these old school coaches, still Mike McCarthy,
Hello.
They still want to do it old school.
Hello, barn.
Yeah, they want to sit in a barn and watch film.
Hello, barn.
You know?
Yeah, that better work, too, this year.
Okay.
Well, how about that?
That better work. All right, we come back. We will reset the top stories, tee it up for the rest of the day here on The Horn. It's a busy Monday as usual. Live, local, and digital. You know we're streaming live on your Horn app, live on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Great stuff on a Monday. Appreciate everyone tuning in, however you find us. Hope you can lock it in the rest of the day, live, local, and digital. Craig Way and Jeff Howe coming up, Light the Tower. David Pierce will be a guest. David Pierce coming off the weekend. I wonder what Skip did this weekend. It's kind of weird. You get in a routine of having series and ball games. Yeah. You know, watched.
Watch film. Watch some more film.
Probably good to get away from it a little bit. But Texas comes in at number two now on the D1 baseball poll, the rankings for the week. They've got four games to go in the regular season with Rice tomorrow night. And then here comes West Virginia this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the Big 12 regular season champion crown will be decided with TCU playing at Kansas State. And keep in mind, TCU lost two out of three this weekend at Louisiana Monroe, and that doesn't impact their conference, but they're not playing their best baseball right now in Fort Worth. Longhorns playing really well and looking forward to maybe an opportunity there. Also on the good, bad, and ugly buck, props to the Sam Houston State Bearcats. They are a national champion at the FCS level. Beats
good
out.
Job.
One late touchdown. What a clutch performance that was late yesterday to wrap up the spring season of FCS football.
And to wrap up the season.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Now it's time for fall football for everybody. That's going to be a quick turnaround. Like, Sam Houston State's going to come back and play in the fall after winning.
Hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, that's what they were saying.
You're going to rock and roll and play right in the fall again, huh?
Well, that's what they were saying they were going to do in the major conferences, too. And everybody's like, what? You're going to play a full season.
That's what
that ends in the spring.
No, that wouldn't have worked.
And then you're going to bring these guys, these unpaid players, back in 3 months to play again? No, you're not.
No, it's not going to happen.
But they're doing it at that level.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, come on.
Those guys will be so damn excited to be the national champion. They can't wait to play again next fall.
What is the long term?
In a couple months?
What's the long term on their bodies, though?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I mean, two football seasons in a calendar year? That's a lot of practice. That's a lot of banging.
And I know what people say. They don't play any defense, and they don't do this, and they don't do anything in the NBA. But those big dudes run up and down that court, and you didn't get the best of them. They played too soon. And I know you had to do this, but outside the bubble, it was quick turnaround.
It was.
It really was for them. And that you didn't get the best of the NBA, I don't believe. And some would say maybe that's all you're going to start getting from the NBA. It's a bunch of three-point shooting, but there's no time to rest.
This guy says the new H-Town. Is Huntsville. I love this. All right, so good stuff from them in the FCS level. We also have NBA playoff picture coming into focus. They're going to have the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday. And remember, our man Isaiah Collier schooled us on this. 10 plays 9, so the Spurs will play Memphis. 8 plays 7 in the West. That'll be Wednesday, so the Golden State Warriors play the Lakers. The loser of the Lakers-Golden State game will play the winner of the Spurs-Memphis game, and that will decide the final spots. The winner of the 7-8 game are in already. They're in. They're the 7 seed, right? So winner of Lakers-Warriors Wednesday night is in. The loser will get a chance to play their way in, playing the loser or the winner of Memphis-San Antonio.
You know, and last week, I missed my buck off last week. My big buck off, buck on was Tom Brady's dad. He's throwing shade up at the Patriots. I love that.
Oh, I like the smack talk.
I mean, that's smack talk. His dad doesn't say anything. Yeah, he's never said
he's
that
commented.
Much. He commented during
Deflategate.
Well, his wife talked more than anybody about anything up there.
Well, she was the one that didn't like Belichick.
That's right. No, but now that the dad's talking,
I
love this.
That is a grudge match.
Yes. I like it.
There's no question with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, there's a huge mutual respect for one another. Brady can't say enough about the coaching and the way he has his team prepared and how he operates. But
yeah, I like Pop's involved. Good.
Yeah, but on a personal level, I think there's some mixed emotions with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And, you know, there's a legacy game. I mean, if Brady wins that, and part of what he wants to be
the Super Bowl,
what he wants to be a perfect season, like he's thinking perfect season. You know he is in his mind. He's already talking.
Buck and Brady. That's right. We're thinking about that, both of us.
Well, how about that?
They're back, and they got everybody back, and they're really good. And I guess we've said a lot. The NFC is diminished with Drew Brees out.
They're going the wrong way.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play.
They're going the wrong way.
Maybe a rookie playing in San Francisco. Maybe a rookie playing in Chicago.
Okay, if that were to happen, would that be it? Say goodbye, Tom. Drop the mic.
Why?
What else I got to do?
Why would I quit? I'm the best.
I'll do it again next year.
That's why I don't understand Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the dang MVP of the league.
Drama.
He likes the drama.
Likes the drama. Wants the respect.
I like that question you posed earlier. If you were sitting between Kyrie Irving and Aaron Rodgers at a bar, how long would you sit there?
7 minutes.
I wouldn't make it seven. No.
They'd be there all day long.
I don't think so.
The whole night, baby.
See?
They start. Yeah.
No.
All right. We'll come back tomorrow. Zero Dark early, 6 a.m. with a Tuesday edition. As we said, David Pierce is a guest on Light the Tower with Craig and Jeff. Craig will tell you about his trip to L.A. this weekend. Went out there to see a Dodgers game because he had the weekend off. Good stuff there. Shirts and skins through your midday. RBKD this afternoon, of course, with the triple option. And we heard from Glenn Davis this hour. You'll have Soccer Matters at 7, Instant Serious at 8, part of our live and local lineup every day here on The Horn. We are live. We are local. We are digital. We are streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and always at hornfm.com.